Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Did you eat too much turkey? Still a little sleepy? Yes? No? Today I want to speak with you just for a few minutes, and I really want to give the church a challenge this morning. Some questions I'm going to ask that I really want us as a church to think about as we move forward. I want us to look at the purpose of the church this morning. What is the purpose of the church? And I had a little video clip that I was going to show, but my technological skills are not as great as they should be, so it didn't work out. But I've got some statistics that I want to read to you that show us where we're at as a church, as an entire church in the world, how they see us. According to the statistics that I have read, there are 13 million born-again Christians in America that do not attend church. Born again, committed Christians that don't attend a local church anywhere. Nearly 50% of committed Christians no longer attend a local congregation. Think about that. More than 90% of church dropouts from last year were in some type of leadership role. 33% of church dropouts were pastors. And on the video, they interviewed a pastor, and he said that his desire and his heart was to minister to people and to share the love of God and of Christ with people. But he found that ministry involved so much of just managing machinery and managing people that he was not able to minister to people. 79% of unchurched people say Christianity is more about organized religion than loving God and loving people. And so we as a church must ask ourselves, where have we gone wrong? Why are people afraid to come to church? Why does organized religion turn so many people off? And how can we, as our local congregation, help turn that around? Most of you have probably heard the story that I'm about to share, but it fits perfectly in our situation. And this is where I'm going to drive the camera guys crazy because I love to walk. One of the greatest football coaches of all time had just come in to begin coaching a new team, professional team, NFL team. Vince Lombardi, greatest coach ever, came in to coach a team that had not had a winning season in nearly 10 years. So we got the boys together, the guys, and as they were practicing, after a few practices, he said, wow, these guys, they really are bad. After he saw how terrible they were, he decided to stop the practice for a second, and there are different versions of the story, but he stopped the practice, called the guys into the middle of the field, and he blew the whistle. He said, all right, guys, huddle up, come in together. Got the guys together, and he huddled in the middle of the field, and he said, all right, guys, gentlemen, we need to get back to the basics. This is a football. Maybe you've seen one before. These are the yard markers. I am your coach. You are the players. And he went on to explain the basic fundamentals of the game of football to these professionals as though they were elementary school children, teaching them, this is how it is, this is how football is. And if you know anything about the history of football and anything about Vince Lombardi, went on to be one of the greatest coaches of all time, several Super Bowl championships with the Green Bay Packers. As a matter of fact, to this day, right, the Super Bowl trophy is known as the Vince Lombardi Trophy. Possibly the greatest coach of all time, because he took a team and brought them back to the basics and said, this is what football is. This is how it's supposed to be. This is a football. I think sometimes the church loses sight of its purpose, forgets why it's here, and it needs to be reminded of the basics. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a church. A place of worship, a building in which we gather to learn about God, teach about God, and give thanks to God. A church is not defined by the building, however. The church is, in fact, the members, right, who make up the building. The church is a legacy that was instituted by Jesus Christ himself some 2,000 years ago. The church, though, through its fallen nature, has become twisted and distorted into positions that it was never meant to be, which is why, to date, in the Christian church, there are some 30,000 different Christian denominations. 30,000. And why is that? We've got a church. All of a sudden, this group over here decides they don't believe the same way that this group over here believes, right? And so rather than sitting down with the Bible, right, with the pastor, with the denomination leader, with the bishop, or whatever it may be in their denomination, and working it out, this group over here says, we don't believe like you do. We're going to leave and start our own church. But not only their own church, they'll take their slightly twisted theology and start a whole new denomination. And then 30 years down the line, that church will have a problem with some of its people, and they'll split, and they'll start a whole new denomination. To date, there are almost 100 Baptist denominations. Can you believe that? We can't agree with each other. We can't discern the Bible, so we're just going to go off and start our own group. This is a Bible, God's holy word. It is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, right? We are to revere this book. We're to honor it. Most importantly, we need to read this book every day. I tell my students in the youth group, you guys get hungry every day, don't you? Uh-huh, yeah. You eat every day? Yeah, several times, huh? Yeah. Well, how come you don't just eat on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights? Oh, we'd starve. How often do you read your Bible? I hear crickets. I hear tumbleweeds rolling by. If you don't eat every day, you're going to starve. Physically. It's the same thing with your Bible. This is God's holy word. We need to read it every day. I tell the students, even if it's only for 5 minutes, at least you're doing something rather than nothing. I'm your coach. I'm here to encourage you, to show you how you are to live so that you may continue serving God in this world. But that doesn't mean that I'm any better than any one of you. I'm no more holy than you are. Because the Bible tells us that we are a royal priesthood. Amen? Every one of us are to go out into the world and share the gospel. Every one of us are capable of picking up a Bible and reading it and sharing it with someone else. You are the body, the very bride of Christ. When he returns, will you be ready? Will we be ready? What is the purpose of the church? That's the question. That's the topic of today's sermon. The purpose of the church. And are we fulfilling it in our community? Now here comes the tough part. Have we concerned ourselves so much with managing machinery and people, like the disgruntled pastor that I mentioned in the video that I was supposed to show you? That we've lost sight of ministering to people? Do we spend more time in committee meetings, Southern Baptist, than we do in prayer services and Bible study? If you would turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. We're going to look at a parable, an illustration that Jesus uses to prove a point. We'll look at the story, we'll look at the context in which he shared it and the application in that day, and then we'll look at the context and the application for us today. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Jesus speaking, then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready.
But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.
Within the context of the original writing, many biblical scholars believe that the first group of people who were invited, who came up with the excuses, were in fact the religious leaders of the days, the Pharisees. You see, we all know about the Pharisees, right? On the outside, they had the appearance of holiness, but on the inside, they were dirty. They were called whitewashed sepulchres, whitewashed tombs. So when the rubber meets the road, when they were actually called to do what they needed to do, they came up with several excuses. I can't pass this one up. I like how the first time he asked someone, they said, Oh, I bought some land. Please have me excused. The second time, what did they say? Oh, I bought some oxen. I've got to break them in. Please have me excused. What did the third guy say? Oh, I got married. Sorry, I'm out. Can't make it. Didn't even say, please have me excused. I'm married. I can't come. Sorry, can't make it. But they came up with different reasons. So what did the master say? Go on to the next group. The lame, the blind. And this represents God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jews, right? Those are God's chosen people. Let's allow them to come in. And he said, Master, we already grabbed them all. And there's still room. Friends, there's always going to be room in heaven, amen? There's always going to be room in heaven for everyone. And we believe it's at this point that God opened up heaven not only for the Jews, for his chosen people, but for the Gentiles, for the rest of us. Go out into the streets, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in. We as a church need to compel people to come into the church. What does that mean? What does it mean to compel people? I think it means anything short of twisting their arm and forcing them in, right? Actually, in the original language, it looks like it made it to be a necessity. Compel them, force them, bring them in by force, the king said. Now, of course, I don't expect any of us to grab people by the nape of the neck and throw them in the church door, because that's not going to do any good. But we can compel people, right? We can ask people, and we can ask people. We can encourage them. We can call them. We can invite them. Stop by their house. See if they need a ride. Ask them again. And then once they get sick of us asking them, then we can pray for them. Give it over to God, right? People at work, we can continue to share our faith and just say, hey, I'm going to church. You doing anything Sunday? You want to come? We don't have to take our Bible and beat them over the head with it, but we need to compel them. A church that is not growing is dying. A church that is not growing is dying. Is our church growing? What would happen if we were not to get another person in our church at all? We just decided that the people we had in our church was good, and that's all we wanted. 60, 70 years from now, our church would be gone, wouldn't it? It'd be dead. Even the little kids that run around and go out to children's church, they'd be 70, 80, and our church would be gone. Your church is not growing, it's dying. And it's our job to grow the church. I can't do it all. Pastor can't do it all. It's our job to get people here, to compel them to come in. And why do we want them here? So we can force them into a religious mold? So we can make them sick of church and leave forever? So they can become part of the statistics that I read for you, that people who are committed Christians but they don't come to church anymore? No. We want them here so we can minister to them, right? So we can get them plugged into a Sunday school class, so we can get them plugged into a small group, a discipleship group, so that we can get them involved with people who have similar interests, similar struggles, so we can encourage and help them, so we can share the love of Jesus. What is the purpose of the church? Why are we here? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. These verses will help shed some light, hopefully, on what the purpose of the church is. Our purpose as believers and our purpose as a church. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he, being Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So when he says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, what's he saying? That's the entire Old Testament, right? The law and the prophets signifies the Old Testament. So the entire Old Testament can be summed up in these two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are things that we as Christians should be doing, and we as a church should be doing. So let's look at these a little bit more. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. What is your heart? Your heart signifies your emotion, right? You should be excited about the Lord. Serve Him with all your heart. Some of you know that I grew up in the Pentecostal church, the charismatic church, speaking in tongues, jumping around on the pews. Those people are very emotional. They love the Lord with all their heart. But sometimes we as Baptists can be on the opposite spectrum. Keep your hands down. No clapping. Which is why I'm very grateful that we have the music, the praise team that we have here, David and the choir. It doesn't matter what type of week I've had, what kind of day I've had, I know that when I come into this building, when I come into the presence of the Lord, Dave and the praise team will usher us into the very presence of God so that we can worship God with all of our heart. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, your intellect, all your training, all your education, all your knowledge. Folks, there are many ministries in our church that need help. We need teachers. We need leaders. We need people to play with kids. We need people to dig ditches. We've got a church work day coming up. We had one just recently. I believe that every person, every adult here, even the children, when you accept Christ in your heart, you're given gifts. You're given talents by God, right? You have strengths. You have skills. And you need to be using those skills for God. I understand that not everyone can teach. I understand not everyone can sing. But everyone has some type of talent that you can do. You have a skill. There are children out there that just need someone to get down on the ground and play with them. They just need someone to read them a Bible study, a Bible story. There are, these guys up here doing incredible work with a sound crew, and they sit and they play with, well, they don't play with, forgive me. They move buttons and they do all this technical stuff that I have no clue about. That's a talent. That's a skill that they've been given by God. And most people have no idea how much work they put into that. The kitchen crew, Rita and her crew, have no idea how much time they spend in that kitchen. That's a skill that they have, and they use that to honor God. Every one of us as an adult, as a teenager, as a child, you have a skill, you have a gift. And if you're not using that gift, you're not only shortchanging God, but there's a ministry out there, there's a child, there's a ministry that needs you. And if you're not using it for God, you're shortchanging that ministry. Think about that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, you shall love your neighbor
as yourself.
If you look out the doors of this building, you'll see who our neighbors are, right? You can look down Myrtle down here. You can look down Jones going down this way. Look down Pine, down Center, down Ann Circle, Adrian, go across Winton Way. I can name all the streets. These are our neighbors. These are the ones who we need to be loving as ourselves. Does the town of Winton know that First Baptist Church exists, that we're even here? And if they do, do they know that we love them? We love them unselfishly. We love them altruistically with agape love, right? Do they know that we're not out here just to convert them? Although, if everyone in Winton came to our church, that would be a blessing. But do they know that we love them? We're here for them. Are we showing love to our community, to our neighbors? Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are just a few of the purposes of the church. If you turn a few pages over with me to Matthew 28, we're going to look at a passage that's very familiar. Most of us could probably quote it from memory. Known as the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." These are things that we need to be doing. And notice here in verse 19 when it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." In the original language, this is a very complicated passage that gives nightmares to Greek students because it's such a complex sentence structure. But this is what's known as a participle. And it's very hard to translate. But according to my understanding, the best way to translate this is it says, as you are going, make disciples. Jesus already assumes that we're going. Remember I said earlier, if a church is not growing, it's dying. If our church is not moving forward, it's moving backward. You can't stand still. So Jesus already implies that we're moving forward, right? He doesn't even give that as an option to be moving backward. I know you're going forward. And this is Jesus. I know you're going forward, right? It's Jesus. As you're going forward, you need to be making disciples. It's not even an option to go backwards. That's what he's saying here. As you're going forward, you need to be making disciples. How do we make disciples? Well, we have discipleship classes, Sunday school classes, small groups, things like that, where we're getting together, we're sharing with each other, and we're sharing the Bible. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many baptisms have we had this year? I don't know, but it's not many. It's not nearly what it's been in years past, right? We can't baptize someone if they're not saved, right? And they're not in the church and living as they're supposed to be. So we need to be going out and sharing the gospel with people so they can get saved, so they can get baptized. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. How are we doing? Is our church growing? Or is it shrinking? Are we moving forward? Or are we moving backwards? There's a community full of people right here in Winton. Not even to mention Atwater and Merced and the surrounding area. We've got people in our church from miles away. Imagine all the people that we can reach between Delhi and here. But just here in our community, if you look out the doors of this building, just beyond these walls, you'll see our community. Those are the people to whom we are called to minister. I mentioned this last Sunday night, for those of you who are here. Our Sunday school program is about to launch a major offensive. And I use that word on purpose. A major offensive, because this is spiritual warfare. Against the schemes of the evil one. Against the wiles of the devil. We're going to use Sunday school as a strategy to reclaim this city for Jesus Christ. My question for you is, will you join us? Will you use those skill set that God has given you to help us bring people to Jesus? You don't have to have a formal education. You don't even have to have an education at all.
You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing.
Maybe you're sitting here and you're a visitor, or you just happened to wander in because it was so foggy you couldn't see where you're going, and you don't even know who Jesus is. Maybe you don't even know who Jesus is or what this whole church thing is about. Maybe you're part of those people who don't think that organized religion is any good. Maybe you're just here to see what we do. Maybe you don't know anything about church. Maybe you're just curious. I don't know. But for whatever reason, God has brought you here.
As David begins to lead his team in worship,
maybe you would like to know who this Jesus is. Maybe you'd like to know more about our church, more about the ministries that we do have. Maybe God is working on your heart to become more involved in the ministries of our church. Perhaps you're one of those Christians who is burning out or is burnt out. Maybe you're the 10% of the church who does 80% of the ministry, and you just need a break. You need help. You need some more soldiers to come alongside and help you. Maybe you just need to come forward and pray, or have someone pray for you or with you. Whatever your need, just know that Jesus is here to hear you. I invite you to come and lay your burdens at the altar and let our Lord help you. May we be a church who actively seeks to reach others for our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the call you've given us. I thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. Lord, as we continue through our journey in life and our Christian journey, just pray you would help us to be soldiers, to be out there in your world, engaging and growing closer to you. Help us to grow our church, thereby growing your kingdom and bringing people closer to you. May you be with us now. We ask in your name.
Let's stand together, please. If you're a visitor to the church, as Pastor Mike just stated, and maybe you've been visiting for a while, and God has laid upon your heart that this is where He would like for you to get involved and share the gifts and talents and abilities and desires that have been growing in you, then we invite you to come this morning and let that be known. Maybe you want to meet this Jesus that Mike has talked about this morning, and that we proclaim King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning, maybe you just want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe ask someone to come with you that you know, and to pray with you this morning. Maybe you just want to stay where you're at and lift up thanks to the Lord for how good He is in your life. Whatever the case may be, remember that He is our strength, He's our hope, He is our King. You come as we sing.
You are my strength, strength like no strength like no other reaches to me.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.